The following interview was recorded on the afternoon of Tuesday, March 25th, 2025. Good afternoon. We're on the phone today with Senator Cora Newman from Bozeman. I think you're going to give us a little bit of an update on what's going on at the legislature in Helena.
Yes, I'm happy to be here. Thank you.
Yeah. So it sounds like it's a pretty wild and woolly up there this session. So how are you holding up?
I mean, it's definitely interesting for me because this is my first session. I'm a freshman, so I have people constantly telling me, you know, this is not normal. This is not a normal session, but for me, it's all I know at this point. But yeah, I do feel like, you know, there have been quite a few delays and distractions, which I have found really disappointing. You know, we have so much work to do in such a short amount of time. And so that has definitely been, that's been frustrating. But we've also gotten a lot of great things done.
Yeah. What are some of the things that have been priorities that you have had in mind when you went up to Helena or as the sessions evolved?
Yeah, so I was raised in Bozeman. It was a little bit more, it was more of a cow town back then, but, and I have worked in rural health. So I work with rural communities, tribal communities. And so for me personally, that's my background and my profession. So for me, Medicaid expansion, the renewal of Medicaid, expansion was a really high priority. And I'm very, very proud of how we've worked together across the aisle to get that done. And we got that done quickly. Much sooner than anybody expected. So that was expected to be the major fight, and it's a priority of the governor, and it was a priority of our, you know, bipartisan coalition. So we got that done and have been able to move on to other bills related to healthcare, housing, property tax. And there also has been a move to make the courts partisan. You know, all research shows is not a good idea for our justice system. So that's also been a big part of our time up here, has been trying to, you know, actually battle those. Because, I worry about what those will do to our system.
Yeah. Was it a surprise to you that the Medicaid expansion went through as smoothly as it did?
Yes, I think it surprised everyone. You know, I'd like to think that despite, you know, the opposition, there is on some level, there's an understanding that the majority of people want and need it. The majority of our communities benefit in a major way from it. And I think, you know, I think the writing was on the wall that we had a bipartisan coalition, you know, really early on in the Senate. And we had, you know, we have one that's growing in the House. And so I just think that basically those on the extremes realized that this was not a battle they were going to win. So it was good that we were able to just take care of that so we could move on. But yeah, we were all surprised. We were all surprised, but also it shows how well we've been able, you know, the moderates and the Democrats have been able to work together.
Yeah. I've been hoping that would happen for quite some time, and I was glad to see that it came to pass this session. So,
Yeah.
So
yeah, it's a big deal.
You said some of the other things that you're working on are housing and some of the affordability issues. How is that going?
So we have, you know, my focus, because of my expertise, like my bills have been mainly focused on healthcare and agriculture. So, you know, on the affordability front, that's kind of the lane that I am in. Because it's something that I know a lot about and care a lot about. And then the housing, we've had Senator Dave Fern was able to pass through, $50 million fund to help support housing. Today there was a bill related to the coal trust that would be a great benefit. So I might actually recommend that you get him on the show to talk about housing, because he's and property tax. He's just such an expert in that area. But I'm happy to talk about, I can talk about healthcare and agriculture if that's interesting.
Definitely. Yeah. What are some of the other healthcare bills that are percolating around?
Yeah. So on healthcare, I have a couple of bills that are doing well so far, knock on wood. One is related to adding PTSD as a condition that could be covered by workers' comp for first responders. One of the things that we're seeing as Montana grows and grows really quickly is just an increase in everything related to emergencies, right? If that comes with the territory. And so whether it's, you know, we have one of the highest rates of DUI and motor vehicle accidents in the country. And those are those can be often very, very traumatic and very, you know, high fatality. So obviously those are really difficult, you know, increases in crime, increases just in mental health challenges. You know, one of the things that I do always say housing is healthcare, and seeing how much housing instability we've had, obviously in Bozeman, it's just been, you know, dizzying and really painful. And so all of those things, you know, end up coming to this doorstep of our first responders. So, you know, law enforcement, fire, EMT, dispatchers, you know, and to come to the point of like, to really come back around to the point of affordability, not only is it a really good idea to make sure that they get that support, first responders see, you know, the average person, just regular citizen experiences about 3 to 5 traumatic incidents in their lifetime, hopefully less. First responders witness or a part of around more like 300 or more a year. I mean, sorry, in their lifetime. And so, you know, what that really over time is, it has a cumulative effect to a point where it's really hard for them to stay in their job, to function, to highly, you know, be highly functioning. It's just really, really challenging. And so this bill would help keep our first responders in their jobs. So that's, you know, makes everything more affordable. And it makes our communities, you know, just, you know, more stable and safer. And so that one, you know, we've had West Yellowstone is part of my district, and there have been 4 suicides in the last 5 years among first responders just in that community because it's so isolated and just because of the challenges with, you know, just being a gateway community to the park, you know. And so every loss costs communities, not only is it tragic, but it also costs our communities a lot. And we need to make sure that we have, you know, all of the personnel and support that we need in our communities to keep everybody, you know, safe and well. So that's one. And I could share about an agriculture bill.
Yeah. Yeah.
If that's,
it definitely is. I sometimes, it's hard for me to recognize sometimes what Bozeman is compared to what it was. I think I came down here in the mid-80s, and it was still pretty much a cow town at that time, I think.
And I think so.
It's so different now, but I think we still at least have some roots in agriculture.
Yes, and we're holding on to them tight. but yeah, so in agriculture, I actually have 3 bills. One, unfortunately, has not made it through, but it's a farm to food bank bill. And so that definitely addresses affordability and some of the challenges that communities are, you know, people who are really living paycheck to paycheck and just trying to manage the increased cost of everything, housing, you know, food, you know, services, everything. And so that program is a grant program that would help you know, basically help support the link between our local agriculture producers and food banks so that we get healthy food to communities that are in need. I mean, the visits to food banks since COVID relief ended have just gone really through the roof. And so we don't just want to get any food to our communities. We want to try to get healthy food to our communities, and it helps both our farmers and ranchers and our community members. That's one. And then I also have one focused on, you know, moving our state towards procuring and basically buying more of its goods from Montana producers. You know, at this point in time, Montanans only 3% of what Montanans eat is from Montana. It used, you know, it was 50+% you know, mid-century last, you know, 50, 60 yeah. years ago, and now it's 3%. And that is just, I think that anybody living here, that would make anybody here sad. Like, we all want to eat more local food. And Montanans are so proud of our agriculture roots and of our local producers. But you can't, you know, when they're competing with massive producers, you know, these huge corporations, they're not going to be able to get their food onto our shelves in a competitive way. And so I have a procurement bill and a tax incentive bill, and those definitely make us healthier and help our economy.
Yeah. I've been kind of curious if there's, I know there was some work in the last session about trying to maybe more on the meat side of things, but I thought try to open up some avenues so that it was a little bit easier for local producers and packers and stuff to be able to operate in the state. And
Yes, that's the value added ongoing. Yep, that's the value added piece. So it's like, you know, making sure that we have meat processing, basically, like, you know, producers and what somebody would call it a butcher, I guess, in layman's terms, but, you know, a place where people can take their, they don't have to send their cows out of state only to like try to get them, you know, get the meat back and sell it here. Like if you can process it all here, it cuts down on costs and it, you know, brings so much more money to that. You know, what I want to see is more money in, you know, coming back to farmers and ranchers. They just, again, the proportion of money that comes back to them at this point is, it's very, very hard to stay afloat. And so some of those programs have grown. I know that there are some, even some college programs that have set up, you know, teaching ag students and giving them hands-on experience with meat processing and things like that. So that is, that seems to be growing, but we, you know, when you think about the potential versus where we are now, there's a long way to go. And I always talk about, especially right now, like given what's happening at the federal level with tariffs and global instability with trade and, you know, really not knowing what's next. I think it's super important that we invest locally in our local ecosystem so that we have food security. I think it's a national security issue. And I think that it is, you know, the sooner and more quickly we get ourselves, you know, a little more self-sufficient, the safer and healthier we will all be. So I want to see that. I'd like to see that accelerate given what's happening at the federal level.
Has it had much of an impact on the session to date, the like deterioration of our relations with Canada in particular, I guess, and maybe specifically in regards to the agriculture piece?
Yeah, I mean, as far as I can tell, Montana, I mean, the maps and data I've seen, and it depends on what industry you're looking at, but, you know, Montana is the state with one of the highest proportions of trade with both Mexico and Canada. And so we've already seen, I've heard anecdotally, and I'm trying to learn more, but there are already, producers are already seeing, you know, they're already being hit by the tariffs, right? Because the tariffs are going to go. I'd love to address it now, but, you know, we've already all introduced our bills, and you have to kind of, it was hard to figure out what kind of solution might be needed when you're in the middle of it. But I think, you know, what's going to happen is the pain is going to be felt by the producers and by the consumers, right, in Montana. So what can we as a state do to maybe compensate, you know, or figure out how to lessen the blow, because it is going to be passed on to us, to all of us, right? It's not going to hit. You know, there's a lot of buffer in those major corporations, but the smaller producers and the consumers are going to be hit. So could we come up with a state level compensation program or, you know, something to help create a buffer? So I think at this point, we probably mostly can do like study bills, you know, and try to, you know, research, track and understand what's happening. And then when we come back or even during the interim, I mean, I think we might have to come back, right? If we get really hit, if our federal programs get hit as hard as the president is saying he wants to hit them, then we are going to, you know, have to come back. Montana has, you know, 40% of a lot of our budget is coming from, you know, is relying on the federal budget. So it's going to,
Have you heard anything on that front about, I mean, one of the places that I think we get a fair amount of assistance that seems to be in a pretty tumultuous state right now is like support for basically dealing with wildfire and stuff in the summer. Have you heard anything about, or has the legislature thought about how that might be dealt with our budget if some of the cuts to the Forest Service stick?
Yeah. I know, you know, that's the thing where exactly that's like kind of translate what I just said about food and tariffs to Forest Service and tourism, right?
Yeah.
You know, that is our biggest money maker, you know, our largest industries are agriculture and tourism, right? So on that, you know, I would just encourage anybody listening to make sure to reach out to our federal delegation, you know, and say, you know, that because they can make the quickest adjustments, right? Because it's coming from the federal level.
Yeah.
And then if they can't and don't have the basically the will to help fix it, then it will fall on us as state legislators and as local leaders. But, you know, I think the more people can pay attention and reach out and be, you know, really vocal and with our federal delegation, you know, all four of our statewide, you know, or our two members of Congress and our two senators, they're all, you know, supporting the president's agenda. And so could they also fight back? I would hope that they would fight back against the parts of the agenda that are really bad for Montana. That should be what they do. So
yeah.
I think it's great for people to pay attention and also reach out and ask those questions directly.
And provide some encouragement for them to do exactly that, maybe.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. So you're through transmittal kind of in the second half of the cycle. And so do things, I know there's been a lot of distractions in the Senate, especially recently. Do things seem like they're like settling down and you'll be able to kind of focus in on getting through the House bills and wrapping up the session?
I mean, the Democrats never wanted any of this, I'll say. This has definitely felt like a political agenda that started on January 6th with the, you know, kind of moves that were made right at the beginning. And so it has, you know, what our main desire is to get through this in a speedy fashion. The parameters and the rules that we have set, not to go outside of that. Hopefully we can get to something, you know, within days and put it aside so that we can focus on, because we have a lot of bills coming over from the House and there are some that are going to be very challenging.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, I hope, has there been any discussion yet about, I know in past sessions that there's always this kind of debate about when to end the session, how many days to leave us as kind of some cover in case there are special sessions required. Have you heard any discussion about anything like that?
No.
No.
I don't know if I would be the one to hear about it. I'm not in leadership. So, but I know, you know, I'm expecting 90 days, you know, so, you know, early May. And, but, you know, who knows? I do think we're going to expect some pretty, again, given what's happening federally, you know, we're going to be expecting to have some interim sessions and some real work to do year round.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Any other thoughts that you have or things you want to share about your experience in this first term in the Senate?
I mean, I would say right now, you know, I feel like there is a lot of kind of chaos and fear given the instability and roller coaster that we're on at the federal level. And so I would just, you know, remind people to focus on, you know, what you can control. I think it's important for like our mental and emotional health and our community stability to just stay local, focus on investing in local businesses, buying from local farmers and ranchers, you know, reaching out to schools and seeing if they need any help. You know, we can stay steady locally if we really invest in it and focus on it as, you know, don't scroll.
Yeah.
You know, don't sit on the news site, because I do think that really is actually very bad for your mental health. So I would just, you know, encourage everybody to take care of your mental health, you know, connect with your neighbors, even the ones you don't agree with, And I don't mean that to sound kumbaya, like it really is actually very important right now, that we feel like we have, you know, keep the fabric of our community strong. Remember that that's how we do it in Montana. We haven't been, historically have not been hyper-political, and we don't have to be if we don't want to be. I've really enjoyed working with Republicans and Democrats together to do some great stuff. So I think we can all do it if we focus on that and really turn off the news and turn off the scrolling, because it's not good for you. So that's yeah. what I would, you know, message I would share if I can. I try to, you know, share that wherever I can, because I think it's yeah. important.
I think that that's really, I mean, maybe more so now than ever, but turning yeah. off the computer and actually turning on the interpersonal relationships, because
yep.
it's so easy for people to fall down this rabbit hole, and it seems like people are a lot more willing and able to kind of go to this bad place when they're just interacting online and not in person. And least I hope that people, when they're in person, can still be civil and have more recent discussions. So I'm holding out.
Yeah,
hope,
and try to, like, you know, look, you know, even just as a store, you know, like chat with the people, you know, that are just around you as you go through your business every day. And I think, you know, I do laugh a lot and stay really positive. And sometimes I think people are like, why are you so cheery? And I'm like, you know, I mean, it's been really hard, but I also am like, listen, this is all we have, right? We have each other. That's it. And I think that we can find ways to see each other's humanity. And the more you do that, the happier you are. Like, maybe you don't want to do it to be like friends with somebody, but you could do it for your own,
right?
Just for your own well-being, right?
It's good for everybody and for yourself, which is, you know,
yeah,
win all
exactly.
the way around.
Exactly.
Well, I want to thank you for taking time to talk to us today. I know that the session is quite a thing. Even in the best of circumstances, it's kind of a difficult task, and I'm sure this year is even more so. So I appreciate you taking the time.
Yeah, I really appreciate you doing this. It's great. It helps us, you know, it's hard for us to get our, you know, connect and get, you know, kind of updates out because we're so busy. So I really, really appreciate you doing this.
All right. Well, good luck getting through the session, and I hope some of your bills sail through and some good legislation gets enacted.
Thank you.